This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. This is Chris Gunty, Associate Publisher and Editor of the Catholic Review, and our guest today is Baltimore Archbishop William Laurie. We're going to talk about his new pastoral letter titled In Charity and Truth. Welcome to the show, Archbishop Laurie.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good to be here.
Archbishop Laurie, your pastoral letter is subtitled Toward a Renewed Political Culture. Why is that a topic you wanted to tackle, and why now?
I wanted to tackle this topic at this moment, because, first of all, we are in the run-up to the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. I looked at this as a moment not simply of nostalgia or simply a moment in which we celebrate all the good things that have happened. Of course, we must do that.
Sure.
But also to look at what are the needs in this moment, as we are approaching this anniversary. And one of the things that is so evident, painfully evident, is the extreme polarization of our political culture, the seeming inability to come together, to find common ground, to work for human dignity and for the common good. And so I wrote this not as a political prescription or not to tell anybody how to vote. It's not about that. It's about the qualities of mind and heart that we as citizens, believers, and leaders ought to be striving to bring to our political culture.
You talk about bringing people together. Why is that unity important, and how can we achieve that?
Unity is at the heart of any society. For a society to hang together, to work, to function, to provide opportunity for its citizens, to be a good place to live, to be a place of justice and peace, there has to be unity. Doesn't mean we agree on everything. Doesn't mean we're all the same. We're not, nor should we be. It does mean, though, that we find a deeper underlying unity and cohesion that comes not from ideology or from partisanship, but from deep human values and virtues that ought to be inscribed on our hearts as citizens and believers.
The title of the pastoral itself echoes your episcopal motto, Charity and Truth. Why is it important to bring those together?
I've always tried to keep in my own mind and heart the relationship of charity and truth. A society that is healthy, a society that is a good society, is going to be a place of charity and compassion. But charity and compassion can be misguided and go awry and turn charity itself on its head unless it's moored to the truth. And in this case, the truth about the human person, the truth about what constitutes a just and flourishing society. And so that's why the two of them are always linked together in my motto, but also in this pastoral letter.
Mm-hmm. In the pastoral, you talk about how anniversaries shouldn't be all about celebration. You mentioned that a few minutes ago. But when we acknowledge those times when we haven't lived up to our ideals, how do we do that without kind of being a downer and saying, oh, well, everything's terrible. How do we balance those things and do them together? How does that play out in our lives as a community and personally?
As we come together for our 250th of the Declaration of Independence, Of course, we need to go back to the ideals that led the founders to create this new nation. We have to recognize that these are enduring ideals, and we also have to recognize that we are a land of great opportunity, of many blessings, but also contradictions. People who have been denied their rights, people who are falling behind, people who are suffering in our culture. We have to recognize those things. And recognizing them, we're not simply beating ourselves up and saying, isn't it terrible? The reason you do this is because you want to make the United States the best possible version of itself. It's never going to be a utopia. There's never going to be complete agreement. There's always going to be a need to strive for justice. It's called an experiment for a reason. And that's that we have to keep trying. We, in every age, the challenges are going to be different. In every age, we're going to have to respond in new and different ways. But we have to do so with an underlying unity, with underlying virtues, with an underlying respect for one another that enables us to tackle these problems, even when we disagree about them, even when we find that there will be very different prescriptions for how they ought to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. How does that give and take of disagreements work out? People of reasonable goodwill can disagree about the best way to implement a certain policy or that. But does it have to be done with vitriol? Or can we do this in civil ways?
One of the things I bring into the letter is the notion of synodality. Okay. Now, synodality is something that is from the church. Pope Francis really brought it to the fore. Synodality has to do with walking together. It has to do with a measure of humility in our interactions with each other, listening to one another. Synodality does not feel or does not rest on the view that everybody's going to agree. It actually expects some disagreement, but it believes that in listening to one another and walking with one another, there's a greater possibility in the power of the Holy Spirit that there's going to be a coming together. That's the church. Civic society is not the church. So you can't just import synodality and say, okay, secular culture, do what the church is doing. The dynamic is different, but there is something to be learned from what the church is attempting to do to renew its own life in the renewal of our political culture. Namely, wouldn't it be wonderful if during this anniversary and beyond, we reminded ourselves that we are fellow citizens, that we are all in this together, that we are walking together on a journey? Wouldn't it be good if we recognize that while we have strongly held convictions, no one of us in our culture might possess the whole of the truth? A bit of humility. Wouldn't it be great if we slowed down a bit, listened to one another, tried to find where there might be some common ground, all the while keeping our eye fixed on human dignity and the common good, and instead of scoring rhetorical victories, we would score victories for the poor and the most vulnerable among us.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that you mentioned as the first part of synodality is to listen. And I think these days we're not listening to each other. We're shouting at each other, or we're listening only to the kinds of media that reinforce our own values. How do we get people to start, just start by listening?
You know, we are a country of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I don't think that's necessarily going to come from either of the political parties. I think it has to come from the citizens. It has to come from citizens of the United States, those who are demanding something better. And so the pastoral is an invitation to meditate, to pray, to reflect on what could and ought to be better. And there are three things. One is synodality that we've already talked about, an ability to listen, to seek some common ground, to keep our eye fixed less on ideology, more on the dignity of the human person, the common good, and human flourishing. A second thing is a recognition of the importance of unity as a country. That's the first principle of a cohesive society. It's the first principle of the church. The first thing Pope Leo said to us were words about our unity as a church. We're constantly repairing it. We're constantly working on it. It's a gift from God, but we receive it quite imperfectly. The same is true as we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That is a true statement, but it is also an aspirational statement that we have to continually work towards. And so this is an invitation to do that. And then we ask ourselves, what qualities of mind and heart do we need to have in order to work towards this, to be more synodal, to work towards unity? And it turns out it's nothing new. It is virtues, the cardinal virtues, the hinge virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Those four virtues on which all the other virtues hinge, those have to be characteristic of us who are citizens, but also characteristic of those who are in leadership. But that happens when we are a moral people, when we bring our religious faith to bear on our culture, and when we really ask that of our leaders, to say, kind of slow it down, tone it down. We're not interested in pyrotechnics. We're interested in a government that is just and compassionate, that is charitable and truthful. That's what we're looking for. And that has to come from us. And the founders recognized the importance of a religious and a moral people for democracy to succeed. This is an invitation for us, for myself as well, to be that kind of a patriot.
Awesome. Well, we want to talk some more about those virtues after the break. This is Chris Gunty. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio, and we're talking with Archbishop William Laurie about his new pastoral letter, In Charity and Truth.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path. One that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. Our guest is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, talking about his new pastoral letter titled In Charity and Truth. Archbishop, right before the break, you talked about these hinge virtues. There's a line in the pastoral where you talk about how they are interrelated and they're woven together. Why is it so important that they work together?
In order for us to be fully integrated as human beings, the virtues have to work together. One of the things that is besetting us as individuals and in our relationships with one another is compartmentalization. It's where we sort of put aspects of our lives in boxes and we seal them up one against the other. It's almost like we're not one person, but several persons. What we need to do is to integrate the virtues. So prudence is called by the Catechism of the Catholic Church the charioteer of all the other virtues. It's the one that helps us creatively marshal the virtues as we discern the path forward. Justice is that virtue that enables us to give each person his or her due. It is what helps us to create a society that is just. But the society that is just hinges on a citizenry that is just and, may I also say, magnanimous. Fortitude. To be that society that is just and magnanimous, you have to be a person of strong conviction. And you have to be willing to take risks because you're being called upon not simply to do that which is convenient or politically advantageous, but the right thing for the right reason. And then temperance. Oh my goodness. Temperance means, of course, in normal parlance, it means you don't drink too much, eat too much, etc., etc.
All in moderation, including moderation.
And what we're talking about is moderation in public life. That doesn't mean you don't have strong convictions, but it does mean you temper what you say. You temper your appetite for power. You temper all the things that present themselves to you when you're in public life. And let me just say how much I appreciate, as a something of a student of history, how challenging it is to be in public life. But these virtues, they work together as a team, but they are driven by prudence as the charioteer of all the virtues.
Mm-hmm. You know, two examples in the pastoral of American Catholics who are saints or on their way to sainthood, who really are kind of emblematic for you of Catholics in the public square. Blessed Michael McGivney and St. Francis Cabrini. Why are these two such good exemplars for how we should act in the public circle?
Both Blessed Michael McGivney and Mother Cabrini are examples of people who were courageous in their compassion. And their courage was actually noticed by the broader society. So Blessed Michael became the quintessential parish priest in New Haven, Connecticut, in a time of rampant anti-Catholicism. By being a great parish priest, he found himself reaching out beyond the confines of the parish to people of other faiths. In his brilliant founding of the Knights of Columbus as a mutual aid society, he helped his own Catholics not to see themselves as a beset minority, but the citizens who should take their place in society and who did. His witness was noticed by the broader culture. When he had the courage to accompany Chip Smith, a condemned murderer, to the gallows, the whole society took notice. His love, his courageous love, his incarnational love, had an impact on the culture around him and helped shape not only how people felt about the church, which is important, he improved that, but also how they felt about what their society ought to be like. Mother Cabrini, my gosh, as she comes over here, a band of small number of sisters sent by Pope Leo XIII, by the way, and she comes over here, the odds are huge against her. First of all, the church here didn't quite know what to make of her. And certainly the civil society didn't. But again, it was a case of someone coming from another country and profoundly influencing the Church of the United States and the whole country by building these series of orphanages and hospitals that serve the poor all around the country. It's courageous compassion that has an impact. And what does that do? It helps bring people together. And I think that's why I chose those two.
Mm-hmm. You're not the first Baltimore Archbishop to talk about how Catholics can be good American citizens. Notably, Cardinal James Gibbons promoted the idea that Catholicism and American civic, democratic, and constitutional values are compatible. He encouraged integration over isolation. How do you hope your writings further that concept and make it a reality? Teach Americans and Catholics that they can be both.
First of all, I want to affirm Cardinal Gibbons. His footprint is large. I've read Monsignor John Tracy Ellis's biography of Gibbons twice, once when I was a seminarian and once when I became Archbishop of Baltimore. What a visionary leader. No one's perfect, but he was certainly visionary. Today you hear some people say, as Catholics, the time has come for us to withdraw from the public sphere and just go kind of be off on our own. Things aren't going to get better. Things are only going to get worse. And we simply have to disengage. That is exactly what we should not do. Gibbons was correct. There is nothing in our faith that makes it incompatible for us to labor in the public sphere. Quite the contrary. Our faith impels us to go forward. We are missionaries. Of course, we are evangelizing. We are bringing Catholics back. Mass attendance went up 11% last year. How wonderful. But we are also missionaries to the broader culture, bringing fundamental human values of human dignity and solidarity and human flourishing into the public sphere. And as my old boss, Cardinal Hickey, said, we serve those who are beyond the confines of the church, not because they're Catholic, but because we're Catholic. And that's very much at the heart of this letter I wrote.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope that faithful Catholics can take away from your reading your pastoral letter in charity and truth toward a renewed political culture?
It's really not a prescription. It's not a direction. It's an invitation. An invitation to lay aside all the sound and fury of our current political culture. And as we approach this anniversary, prayerfully to ask what can be done practically to make it better, to heal it. And what's my role? What's the role of my parish? What's the role of my circle of friends with whom I have influence? How could we do this, so to speak, from the ground up? The beautiful thing about our church is it's not government, nor should it be government. And when we get a little too close, that's when we get in trouble. Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about our church is we're an intermediate institution. It mediates between the government and ourselves. And it enables us to develop ourselves not simply in our skills that we need to make a living, but to develop ourselves as persons, to find our voice, to find our place, to anchor our lives in what really matters, and then to share that with others within the church and beyond the church.
And that's a good way to do it. If you are interested in reading this pastoral letter in Charity and Truth, visit archbalt.org. Thank you so much for being with us today, Archbishop Lurie. We appreciate your time.
Glad to be with you, Chris. Thank you.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you're listening to Catholic Review Radio. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.